season of infinite light, where the distance from heaven was not far behind. I was close to you, I was close to you. Carry me back to that moment in time when the colors and fragments were beautifully bright. How I long for you, how I long for you. 'Cause out here in the dark, underneath the canopy of stars, constellations falling from your heart, they tell me that I'm not alone. 'Cause honestly, I'm so alone. Promise me I'm not alone. How many miles does my soul have to drive before love can collide with the mess of my life? That's not hard for you, that's not hard for you. 'Cause you see through spectrums of darkness and light, but I'm losing my way and I'm losing my mind. I can't see the truth. Help me see the truth. 'Cause out here in the dark, underneath the canopy of stars, constellations falling from your heart, they tell me that I'm not alone. 'Cause honestly, I'm so alone. But promise me I'm not alone. Oh, promise me. On my face, the memory of sun that been shining for days. You've already been in this desolate place, you've already been hearing, you've made a way. Pinpricks of glory strung out across the sky, memories of darkness undone by the light, reminding me you were right here by my side. You're here by my side, you're here by my side. Out here in the dark, underneath the canopy stars, constellations falling from your heart, you tell me that I'm not alone, and know that I'm never alone. 'Cause you find me and bring me back home. And I'm never alone, never alone, never alone.
Well, there you are. And it is so good to be back here at the table after a couple of weeks of silence for an episode that I believe to be very timely as we are on the cusp of the season of summer. Now, before we dive into those waters, let me just say a word about our opening song, Constellations. That's off of Ellie Holcomb's 2021 album, Canyon. Canyon was my pick for album of the year in 2021. And in August of that year, I drove up to Nashville for Ellie's first solo concert at the Ryman. And I will never forget, she sang Constellations that night, and it was absolutely riveting. She composed that song during a whitewater rafting trip through the Grand Canyon. She said there was something kaleidoscopic about seeing the night sky from a mile deep inside the narrow walls of the canyon. It magnified the stars and the constellations. Pinpricks of glory strung out across the sky, memories of darkness undone by the light, reminding me you, God, are right here by my side, out here in the dark, underneath a canopy of stars, constellations falling from your heart. Feel free to rewind right now, hear Constellations all over again, or wait until the end of today's episode. We'll play it at the end. And please check out Ellie's other wonderful songs wherever you telescope music. Well, here we are, about to roll into Memorial Day weekend, which for most of us marks the beginning of summer. Even though summer solstice doesn't officially arrive here in the Northern Hemisphere for another 4 weeks, but truly characteristic of the spirit of rush that dominates our culture, we can't wait on our Creator's natural timing. We got to make hay while the sun shines, even though few of us even own a horse or a herd or a flock. Thank God some of us do, or our weekend barbecue would be a little more on the vegan side, right? But the bottom line is, we can't wait to get to the next, and the next, and the next. We are not good at waiting. You know someone who is? God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. His word is always beckoning us to wait upon Him. Like a lyric of a song by the rock group Petra, "Hurry up and wait upon the Lord." There's a hurry right there we all could buy into. When it comes to navigating our souls, one of the first lessons we need to learn is to drop anchor and do it often. Psalm 46:10, "Be still and learn who God is." I like the word navigate. Now, unless you own a boat or an airplane, you probably don't use that word much in everyday language. But it is still something we need to do that most of us probably don't even think about because we're dependent upon some form of technology that does it for us. An example, most of us jump in our vehicles, speak an address, and follow the voice prompts. We don't have to think. Siri or Alexa or whomever will tell us where to go. But the soul doesn't operate that way. And we need to guard our hearts and our minds and our souls to make sure our spiritual lives don't fall into the same laziness of convenience. I like the word navigate. You can navigate a trail, you can navigate a river, you can navigate a kayak, you can navigate a surfboard. But can you truly navigate your soul? I believe you can. If you don't, someone is going to. That someone could be an employer, or a professor, or a politician, or the crowd you hang with, or even someone you cling to who is attempting to control your life for their benefit. We all need to choose wisely the path, the current, the direction we launch into. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount in The Message says, "Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, the way to God, Jesus says, is vigorous and requires total attention." I like the word navigate. I like the images that come to my mind when I ponder that word. It falls into a category of simplicity, of a way of life that brims with more intensity, more pure oxygen than any artificial substitute our culture keeps trying to seduce us into embracing. In the past 30 years, I have read 2 historical accounts of expeditions into the Grand Canyon down the Colorado River, back when the canyon was uncharted and the river was wild. John Wesley Powell's Journey of 1869 down the Great Unknown, and Ellsworth L. Kolb's Through the Grand Canyon from Wyoming to Mexico. Ellsworth and his brother Emery made that trip in 1923. With photography equipment and a motion picture camera so they could share their exploits with all the tourists who would visit their studio back up on the South Rim. Both of those books have more in common with what it means to navigate a life of faith in God than many American churches will experience in a lifetime. To navigate anything implies the challenges of the unknown. And that in itself has led me to not lay out this episode like a navigational checklist. We believe ourselves to be more advanced than the generations before us, but we have removed ourselves from much of the environment of the holy wild, the great outdoors, the great other side of the threshold of our church where God's Spirit, in His untamed rawness, meets our timidity and invites us to trust in His guidance and in His provision. I like the word navigate. I like to read and study a topographical map that measures elevation through the use of contour lines. I prefer to have a real map when I am out hiking in a national park. I also like a compass. From a very early age, I possessed an awareness of north, south, east, west. When I drive into a new city or an unfamiliar landscape, this is how I orient myself. Now, yes, I do use a GPS, and I do use apps. I even have a few favorites on my phone, Google Earth and Merlin Bird ID. But to know something internally is way more soul-nourishing. It sparks more creativity and curiosity than being fed the same information from an outside source. It's the difference between memorizing something Jesus said and actually putting what He said into practice. I like longitude and latitude. Longitude measures distance east or west of the prime meridian. Latitude measures the distance north or south of the equator. Whenever I see those coordinates given to indicate a physical place, something in me warms to that. I wish I was at 48.7875 degrees north and 113.1130 degrees west right now. It would be a little chilly. That's Grinnell Point in Glacier National Park. Glacier is one of my all-time favorite places. A change of longitude deepens my reserve of peace. A change of latitude recharges and extends my joy. Navigation, topographical maps, a compass, longitude, latitude, and I wish I knew how to operate a sextant like the ancient sailors or the pioneers. They would read altitudes of celestial bodies and the constellations, and they could pinpoint with accuracy where they were in the ocean or the prairies by reading the night sky, by observing the real satellites of our planet. All of these examples speak to the importance of mindfulness, of knowing where we are in a journey. For if we know where we are and know where we want to go, then we can see the course we need to take to get us to where we want to go. The Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalms 119:105, kind of sounds like a longitude and latitude coordinate all its own. Psalm 119:105 tells us God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. If you've ever used a lantern in the dark, you've discovered it shines just enough light for a step or two ahead. And if we keep stepping into that light, keep moving forward, it will navigate us to where we need to go. And then Jesus gave the greatest navigational instruction for our souls in the Gospel of John, John 14:6, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the path, the course, the river, the trail. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to God, the Father, except through me." All of us were created, designed for relationship with God, our Creator. He provided the path in His only begotten Son, Jesus. He also created the earth underneath every road we travel. He created all the water over which we sail. He created the sky up over our heads. And in each of those three places, he etched in a map so we could discover where we are. And what he did in the earth, sea, and sky, he did even more so in the sun, S-O-N. And what he did for our bodies, he did even more so for our souls. Jesus not only shows us the way, he is the way. He may not have been a fisherman or a sailor by trade, but he does know how to walk across the waves. Well, thank you for coming to today's table. I hope you will come again. You're invited to follow Redemption's Table. Please share this episode with your friends on social media or individually, and be ready for next time as we present the 150th episode. Don't miss it. Until then, keep looking up.
When I felt the light of the moon on my face, the memory of sun that been shining for days, you've already been in this desolate place. You've already been hearing, you've made a way. Pinpricks of glory strung out across the sky, memories of darkness undone by the light.